it, as we see, is knowing we have eternal life. Knowing we have eternal life. Now, I know some churches teach today to own it. Like, you have some churches that teach that they believe in what's called a take it faith. But the take it faith, in which I'm entitled. They almost teach an entitlement of a Christianity as if God owes me something. Okay? And it's disturbing because it's not what the word teaches. I literally have to take a verse or two and then ignore the rest of the Bible in order for that concept to work. But some think, because I said a few words, that I'm automatically a Christian. But you have some then, I'm going to go out and work real hard to be a good person. And then they think they're automatically a Christian. What God is saying in this entire chapter, because it's a book we're actually getting ready to go through, and I kind of broke it up to give you the categories in it, is in John, it's in 1 John, at the end of your Bible, and he says something at the end, and like I said, our works are just evidence if we are. Everybody catch that? If I am a Christian, my works will show it. So it's not me working to become a Christian. That's wrong. That's by works, and we live by grace. What the works are is if I really lived in his grace, it will be displayed in my works. And we see this, and I start off by going to the end of the book. 1 John 5:13, at the top of your page says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. So these are the people that say, okay, I say I'm a Christian, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Does that make sense? Okay, so what he's saying is, what you just read or what we're about to read is for me to know, yeah, that's me. Or, oh, okay, maybe I haven't. Because I think we all have our own definition of did I accept Christ or not. Does that make sense? Okay, now, in no way what this is saying is I must do this. What it is saying is it better be done. Not with me trying to do it, but my relationship has to change with Christ in order for this to be done. Does that make sense? This is going to be, if I am a good fruit tree, then it will be displayed in good fruit, if that makes sense. Okay? It will be displayed in good fruit. You'll see good fruit coming that way. Okay? So it says concerning sin. So what he's done, before I go into each of these, there's certain categories that if you went through 1 John, and I broke them up into certain categories, and in each of these categories, you'll look at me concerning these things. So we see it as concerning sin. We see it concerning love. We see it concerning the obeying his commands. We see it concerning our relationship with Christ. And that one's left last because that's by far the most important one, because we all have to have relationship with him. And then we end it with relations with the world, or where the lacking of it should be. And but this is where you're going to see if I have these things or if I don't, how they really work out with us in our lives. So first of all, concerning sin. Now, watch what he says about darkness and sin. It says in 1 John 1, 5 through 10, it says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Now watch this. If we claim, everybody say claim. Okay, so he says, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk, everybody say yet walk, in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. Let me stop there for a minute. Now, do you see how he's giving evidence here? He's like, I can say whatever I want to say, and it's meaningless. I can say I'm Christian, super Christian, mature, powerful, whatever, but how I live will display if I really am. Does that make sense? So I can't say I'm a Christian while I'm living in sin. That's what he's saying. He's saying if we claim or say that I am a Christian, yet walk or live in the darkness, we lie. Okay? Very clear. Can't make it any clearer than that. He's like, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light. Now, I love that, not just if we walk in the light, period. He says if we walk in the light as he is in the light. Why is that so important? Because we got so many definitions of light, which is not really light. Okay? Remember, and we're going to do the sermon coming up soon. Again, wrong righteousness. You got so many people that form their own, oh, I don't watch TV. Oh, I don't wear this. Oh, I don't do this. And you'll hear that stuff which people throw out there, and you'll kind of go, so is that wrong or right? Should I be living like this person or should I live like that person? This person says it's okay to do. This person says it's not. Jesus. Jesus is the one who sets the levels. Do y'all get this? Jesus is the one. So he's saying if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So you saw he just now gave us more definition on what we are to be. It's not me just making a statement and something happens behind the scenes while I still go out and sin. Okay, it's not that. It is a acceptance, a life change that I chose. I'm saying he's Lord and I'm walking in that way. Okay, and that's what we have to do. Verse 8 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So this one's geared towards those people who look at, remember when we read that verse that says, it's not the things that go in a person that make them unclean, but it's those things that come out of them, right? And we went down that list, and there was murder, there was adultery, there was other stuff that we all agree, yep, that's sin, that's definitely sin. Then it went to the end of it where it said there's slander, there's arrogance, there's other stuff. We look at that and go, well, and that's what we do today. Some of us will look at our minor sins and go, well, at least I'm not those people with the major sins. And that's what messes us up, because if we claim to be without sin, there are some people who literally think, I'm really not that bad. Do you understand that? And that's, he says, we deceive ourselves. So we start living in our own righteousness instead of a humble, instead of a humble acceptance of him. Does that make sense? And a humbling of what a wretched man I am. Y'all remember the verse when the two went to the temple to pray and the Pharisee was like, I'm so glad that I'm so righteous and that you made me righteous and I'm not like this guy over here, this tax collector. But the tax collector was so humbled he couldn't look up, and he was like, the humble, that tax collector is what all of us should be. We all should go to God with the mindset of, I can't believe he saved me. Right? Well, some of us are looking, I can't believe they saved him. You know what I mean? We're too busy thinking, I'm a pretty good person, and we are very deceived. We're very deceived because we look at what we call the extreme bad and think, well, at least I'm not them, instead of going, wait a minute, what a wretched man I am. Do y'all get this? Everybody got that? Okay, so that's the thing. If I claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So there's two things that happen. The confessing of our sins. So if I just go, I am a sinner, there's a problem. Okay, and he's talking about to himself. He's talking about, now we do with other Christians, of course, in that same sense. But this is talking about, if I confess my sins to God, I literally say, I am, and I go down the ones, especially the ones I know. It's me showing him, yes, I'm a sinner. I recognize that. Now, if you're really going, well, I'm really not sure, now we have a problem. Okay, because then we don't recognize what sin is. Or we really start drinking our own Kool-Aid and thinking, well, I'm really not a bad person. So then that's where you need a true godly person, an accountability person, to truly tell you, well, here's your problem. Does that make sense? And this is before we become Christians. And even as young Christians, we need to know this, okay? Like you said, because if I don't know this, I deceive myself. And I'll live in my own wrong because I already marked it down as right, okay? And he says, but if I confess my sins, he does something for me. It says he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. That's the first thing. So we need our sins forgiven and purify us from all unrighteousness. So not only is he forgiving me, which I was doomed for hell, but then he purifies me so I don't have to sin anymore. Y'all get this? He cleanses me of the things that made me sin in the first place. Now, what it doesn't mean, I'm getting rid of your flesh. What it means is where it went from I couldn't help it, it's now I don't help it. Y'all get that? I know we like to feel, but you don't understand. I can't help it. No. You chose not to help it. You choose to be a slave to your flesh. Everybody got that? Okay. And that's what he's saying here. That's why it says in verse 10 again, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in our lives. That's how come I can clearly say all of us, wretched people. And even if I go, well, I'm not as much, you'd be surprised. Some of us are probably worse than what others are. Remember, I told you some of our best friends are actually our worst enemies. because the stuff they're doing for us is for the flesh, which in turn is the worst evil you can do. You get around people that I really love being around them. They always have my back. They always do this for me. While in reality, they're catering to me, which he tells me to deny myself. Do y'all ever catch that? You ever think about that? Those are usually your homies, the ones you hang with, the ones you love and you're close with. Why? Because they have your back based on you. But one of the main things Christ keeps saying is deny yourself. So then why am I getting somebody to cater to me when he's telling me to deny me? And we call them, that's my best friend. But then you get that person that will tell you, I really need to talk to you. They go, oh, here comes Keith again telling me that I'm doing something wrong. Here comes Keith again telling me I can't stand being around Keith. Why? Because he's making me deny me. That's the best friend you can have. Y'all get this? And I'm not talking about somebody who does that based on themselves, because you get those people. They find fault with you based on themselves. Okay? I'm talking about the person who truly will come to you and say, man, I love you. I got to talk to you again. Right? And I know when I'm a friend that way, people run. Clearly. I see it happen all the time. People run. I'm getting out of here because I don't want them to hear them. But they go around the person that goes, it's all right. You're not as bad as those people. And you're okay. And you're just human. And we say stuff thinking we're comforting while we're evil. And stumbling blocks. And you know what he says about those who cause others to stumble. Okay? So that's per first part. Darkness and sin. Where do we fall into that? If I looked at my life, how do I fall into that? Next, a Christian does not continue living in sin. It says in 1 John 3, 4 through 10. Everyone who sins breaks the law. Okay, so now he's giving us a definition of sin. In fact, sin is lawlessness. Okay? But you know. Now, understand this. Why he says that. Because everybody immediately thinks of the law or Ten Commandments, so on and so forth. And in a way, yes. But what he's saying is, it's breaking what God says is right. Okay? God is the law. God is, so if I don't do what God says, I sin. That's why anything done without faith, because the only way I do things that God says is through faith, that's why it's sin. That's why even if the thing I do is right, if my purpose for doing it is wrong, I sin. Does that make sense? Did everybody get that? If they tell me, Keith, the way you get your money out the bank is this way, and I get it out any other way, that's stealing. Even if I cry, well, it's my money. I had a person do my taxes years ago. I'm in the one job I worked at. They took nothing out. So I took it to her, and I was in college at the time. And I remember she said, Social Security belongs to you, so we won't pay that. That's what she said to me. And she paid all the other stuff, and I took it back, and I'm like, yeah, I guess it does. And I'm, what's it, I was like 17, 18 years old, and I'm like, okay, didn't I get out of it? You understand? Now, what she said was true, but it was wrong in how it was done. Do y'all get this? And a lot of us do the same thing. We'll do something righteous for the wrong purpose, which makes it wrong. Get to know that. Please understand it. That's why my purpose or faith has to be in God. That's why people will give to the homeless. That's great. Then they'll keep giving. Start doing it in the wrong way. Start enabling them. Hurt them. Why? Because they're doing it based on some company or based on themselves, not based on God. Do y'all get this? We go too far. And God's like, oh, you never included me in this in the first place. And you're so busy feeling good about yourself, patting yourself on the back. God has nothing to do with it. Nothing more than a red cross. Does that make sense? Yes.
So that could even go if you're doing something for the church. You're volunteering for every ministry.
Yep.
And it's taken away from your family.
Yep. Very well put.
That could be something righteous, but it's wrong because you're not home with the family.
Absolutely. Like you have, like the world taught us, I'll use the church as a good example and then use work as an example too. The world taught us, if I work hard at what I'm doing, even if I put all my time into it, even if it takes away from my family, that's a noble thing. While God gives me step by step, Keith, I'm responsible for my wife, I'm responsible for my children, I'm responsible for my household, I'm responsible for that job, I'm responsible. Do you see what I'm saying? Since I'm responsible, I'm still responsible. So if I use one of those as my excuse not to be responsible, I got to answer to God. Do y'all get this? All right? If I become so busy that I'm not taking care of those other things, I'm in trouble. God's not going to go, yeah, I know you were hard working. You really had to work hard and you had to work all these hours. He's going to go, but you're responsible for that. Do y'all get that? Okay, and that's the key. So even in church, it's structured in a way that I still have to take care of my responsibilities as well as the responsibilities of the flock. Does that make sense? Okay, so it can't, if I'm truly being a Christian, I can't use church, which the Pharisees and Sadducees used to use, as an excuse not to be responsible for the things God tells me to be responsible for. That's why God must be my purpose. So always go, why am I doing this? And then he'll guide you on how to do it the correct way. Everybody get that? If not, it's not by faith. Amen? So good point. Any other questions? Okay? So we see how that works. Now, once again, everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, the sin is lawlessness. It says, but you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. Okay, so that was the main reason Jesus came. So not only our sins that we did that we were headed to hell for, but the power of sin over us. Okay, so he did both. And in him is no sin. So Christ came, he didn't sin, and he took all the sins from us. Okay, no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. Now, the Greek word for that means exactly that. It means living in sin. Okay, what it doesn't mean is you'll stop completely sinning. It doesn't say that. What it's saying is, who lives in him keeps on sinning. That word for the keeps on sinning means continually sin. In other words, living in sin, if you want a good word of it. You know what I mean? So in other words, in an accepted sin. You cannot be a Christian and be in an accepted sin in your life. Does that make sense? I cannot. That's what he's saying. He's saying no one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. So it's taken away what you may claim to be. I can say I'm a Christian, all I'm one. But if I am showing that I'm living in an accepted sin, I am not a Christian. Y'all catch that? Okay? I'm living in an accepted sin. I'm not a Christian. I don't care how many people say you are. I don't care how many times you think you've been baptized. How many times you say you think you are. Remember, the evidence is in the action. That's going to be it. So if I'm living in an accepted, now, what do I mean accepted sin? If you have a struggle that you're truly trying to work on, that's not an accepted sin. When I say truly, only you and God know if you're truly trying to work on it. Does that make sense? Okay? But if I am just doing it and you come to me and say, well, you know, Pastor Keith, you can't keep, I'm doing what I want. God knows my heart. Say something stupid like that. And that's what we say, stupid stuff, while I'm continually doing something that I know is against God. Do y'all catch that? I'm not a Christian then. Amen? I see a lot of weird faces out there. Do y'all, did everybody not understand it or did it hit nerves or what's up with that? Everybody? Okay, never mind. But it's something that it hits deep, and it's what he's saying here. He's saying, if I keep on living in sin, continuous sin, has never seen him or known him. And this is verse 7. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does, everybody say does, what is right is what? Righteous, just as he is righteous. Now, what is he saying? Is he saying, I do righteous things in order to become righteous? No. He was like, if I'm righteous, you'll see me do righteous things. The righteousness, all it is evidence that I'm righteous. It's not the path to righteousness. Okay? That's why you have some churches that struggle with this, because they'll look at this and they'll go, but isn't that works? No. Okay? The works that come from me being righteous in him. If I'm truly in him, and when we get to relationship, you'll get the chance to see how we have a relationship with him, you'll see it in how I live. Because a relationship is this. If I truly had a relationship with my father, I'll do the stuff my father tells me. Remember, he says, if you love me, you'll do what I command. If I don't have a relationship with a father, he's just my dad. I just call my dad. I don't know what he wants. Don't care because I'm doing my own thing. Did y'all catch that? I'll tell people, ask my dad. What does he want you to do? I don't know. Then you have no relationship. But a person, why are you doing this? Because my father told me. Remember, Jesus, I do exactly what my father tells me. Which means he's checking with his father, understanding his father, and applying what his father says. Y'all get this? Okay? So it's showing us that. That's why it says, do not let anyone lead you astray. How are we led astray? If somebody goes, don't worry about it. As long as you say you're a Christian, you're good. What should your next question be? Where is that at in the Bible? Can you show me that in the Bible? Before I hear you, some of us will go, oh, whew, I'm glad. That's what we do. And a lot of people are being led astray by people giving me words that are not in the Bible, but I like what they said. That's itching ear, right? I love what you just said because now I can go home and do what I'm doing. Don't really have to go to church. I don't have to follow this because I'm a Christian and I'm going to heaven. Right? And not go, wait a minute, but that's not what he said. Can you show me that? Completely sound doctrine? It says, he who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil. And once again, these does means live. You can put it as walk or live. Okay? So it says, he that lives in righteousness, or he that lives in sinfulness. And that's what I'm saying. You just watch, and you can tell if a person is a Christian or not by how they live. Not even when they're just around you. You know, we're pretty good at doing stuff when we're around people, but it'll display in their lives, because you can't do it if you're not. Does that make sense? Now, what it doesn't mean, because remember, Satan disguises himself as what? Angel of light. Okay? So a sinner can disguise himself as, and that's why God allows what I call crossroads to happen. What do I mean by crossroads? So in other words, I'm this Christian, I'm great, as long as I'm in control of it, then God shifts something in my life. Somebody may die. Waiter might get on my nerves. Somebody said something that pushes a button. Something in life I really want. Then I react. The ones who are really with God, see nothing change. They'll even go, man, that really bothered me. I really have to pray about it. The non-Christian, crack. Y'all get it? Y'all see what I'm saying? In other words, this is why we need those things to happen in our lives to reveal the real, right? When we react. And it's not going to happen all the time. And sometimes it's a blessing, because it makes me go, you know what? I really don't have a relationship with God that I think I have. See, when things are going well and they're comfortable, I can put on all the shows you want. Amen? So God will go, let's shift this. Now see what happens. And it shows the real you. Your purposes change, how you react changes, and that's what it's showing us here. And he's like, the ones who live righteous are righteous. Those who are not are of the devil. It says, devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Now look what he says in verse 9. No one who is born of God will continue to, that's once again in that living in, continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. So when a person does it, the conviction, the frustration, and their goal is always messed up when they sin. Does that make sense? They struggle with sin. If you don't, no big deal, because your goal is never God. That's what he's saying here. He says, basically, because when I'm born of God, now my purpose becomes God. So if I go against God, I struggle with it, because I'm living by the Spirit. I'm like, oh, I can't believe I did that. And you struggle with that. Do you understand what I mean? Person who's really not can continue to do it, because they're even fooling themselves. That's why he always says, don't deceive yourselves. Does that make sense? Okay? A person who truly does it, their purpose is God. A Christian is God's purpose people. Okay? It says in verse 10, this is how we know who the children of God are. Did y'all catch that? So you may go, Pastor, you can't judge, and then we can't judge, but he just told me that's my evidence. So we got earlier, you know, in the word where it says you'll know them by their fruit. Now he's saying, watch their actions. That you'll know it. They wouldn't have to say a word. Watch how they live, especially when something happens. Right? Especially. When something, that's why even I tell people before they get married, as they're dating and all intimacy is out the way and they're just friends, you should date. My time is about 2 years. And when I say date, no intimacy, you just kind of friends hanging out and stuff like that. You watch, you'll see a person's real side. You get to see what they really are, if they're really a Christian or if they're not. Because they're going to hit some things that you're going to see. Does that make sense? Now, does it mean we will never trip? No. It means you'll see it, because it'll be consistent, continual process of them. Now, can a person change? Absolutely. Is the effort of change truly happening, or are we doing what we do with God? I'm going to change. Nothing. I'm going to change. Nothing. I'm going to change. Do y'all get where I'm going with this? Or do you see a growth? He or she was bad here, but they are getting better in the Lord. Do y'all get where I'm coming from? That's good. Everybody understand that? Okay, so you see this process, all right? He makes this very clear to us. He says, this is how we know who the children of God are. This is how we know who a Christian is. It says, and who the children of the devil are. And then he breaks it down and makes it clear. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. You're going to see that last part, that theme, continually. Okay? And then he starts off, anyone who does not do what is right. So if I'm not living righteously, I am not a Christian. I don't care what you call it, whatever. You can go to church every single day, if there's an every single day church, and I'm sure there is. You can read your Bible every single day, but if I'm not doing, that means I'm just going through the motions. The Pharisees, Sadducees, and religious leaders were the religious people of the time, which people looked at and they were like, oh, because they were in awe of how religious they were. However, they were put in situations. Watch how they act. Failed. And not only did they fail, they would give an excuse. Well, yeah, it's because. Oh, no, it's only because. And this is why God allows certain things to happen in our lives. But that's also for me. Does that make sense? I want to know if I'm a Christian. God said, okay, I'll show you. And remember, Job did not have the spirit like we have. And every situation you can think of, he was put in, and he still held on to that relationship with God. Did y'all realize that? Right? And we, one simple thing will happen, and we're, God, I'm done. I'm leaving. And you see it. But Christians all the time. And churches give in, and we start preaching this comfort, feel good moment to cater to the flesh. And not this word to cater to the spirit. But that last part right there, as we close, it says, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. Love is a what? Action. Okay? Please understand that. Just like hate is an action. Okay? You got a lot of people who in their actions are not loving their brothers. Okay? And hopefully you're paying attention to that. How you're treating them. What is it based on? Remember, I told you that best friend who got that person back is not loving their brother. So if you are one that caters to a person based on their flesh, you're hating them. In fact, what does the verse say? Anyone who withholds discipline from a child hates that child. Y'all remember that? I showed somebody at work that, and man, she was devastated because she gives into him all the time. And she said, I give into him, and I know I give into him. And I said, I need you to read this. She read it, and she's staring at it. And of tears is because in her mind, this emotional side, but he's so happy. And I don't, dad comes home. That's it. You need to go sit down, the boy, immediately. Why? Because he knows the dad has chose the discipline what God gave him. He's following God's pattern on it. Do y'all get it? She goes into a very emotional mode. And she allowed herself to be fooled in. If I keep babying him, he'll know I love him. No, he'll know I can walk all over her. I love my mom, and I still love my mom, of course. But before she passed away, we knew we can get over on my mom. I hate to say it, but we did. As young kids, we knew she'd yell at us for a moment, but we were going back outside. We'd sit there and bear it. She'd yell at us, you know, she'd be looking, and then she'd say the vintage word, get out of my face. All right, we're back outside. But when she said, wait till your dad gets home, you understand that? Now we're cleaning the house, listening to what people say. All of a sudden, it became serious. Because we weren't taking her serious. Do y'all get this? Okay? And in the same way, we have to love our brothers. So we would break our necks to understand, what does it mean to love my brother? Right? What does it mean? We'll talk about that some more. Any questions? All right. All right. Let us pray.